But growing up, Palm Sunday was just Palm Sunday. And that's all we did. Remember the good old days of just having Palm Sunday? Well, then they decided, well, there's a lot of people that, for whatever reason, don't go to church on Good Friday. So you can't go to church on Sunday, not have anything with the Passion, then show up next week and have Easter. It doesn't make sense. So that's why we have about 5 minutes of Palm Sunday, and then the rest is the Passion. Okay? But you can still come the rest this week, Thursday and Friday. It'll be happening here. Yes. So we cannot have Easter without suffering and death. When was the last time you were in a crowd? I was thinking about this. I think probably the last time we went to Disney a few weeks ago, it was pretty crowded. Maybe at an airport. Airports are crazy, crazy. Visiting my daughter Lydia in New York, that's pretty crowded. I don't know about you, but I do not like crowds. And even just going to Costco, it's a little crazy. But you know, when you see a crowd of people and they're all looking at something like at Costco, crab legs must be on sale. Let's go over here and look at what everybody else is looking at. All right, you're just kind of drawn that way because everybody's looking at that. So in Jerusalem, it was a crowded, crowded day. Everybody and their brother and their cousins, everybody was in Jerusalem for the Passover. So you're walking along, and then you see a crowd of people. You walk over there, and they're cutting palms off of the palm trees. That's not easy to do. We know about that. Climbing up the palm trees, or writing the check to somebody to climb up the palm trees, right? Or they have thorns this big. Those are not fun. Palm trees are not fluffy little leaves. It's hard work. I don't like palm trees anymore. You get there, and there is a crowd of people. You hear the kids screaming and yelling. They didn't have deodorant back then, so they are smelly. Mm-hmm. They're loud. And there's an excitement, a buzz in the air that you can feel. Everyone is super excited because Jesus, the King of the Jews, is going to walk by and into Jerusalem. The King of the Jews, he's here. You're going to get to see him. You're going to get to welcome him into Jerusalem. You've heard that he was a miracle worker. You heard that he healed people, healed the blind, made deaf people hear. And here he is going to walk by. He's the King of the Jews. He's going to snap his fingers and the Romans are going to leave. Oh, it's going to be an awesome day because the King is finally here. Well, that's what they're thinking. So they're throwing the palms leaves on the floor. They're taking off their cloaks and throwing them on the floor, which was a big deal because they didn't have washing machines back then, right? Everyone's excited. It's like pulling out the red carpet for the King, inviting him in. Everyone's excited. And then they see him and they say what we said outside, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Not because we just read it, but we say it every Sunday, right after the Sanctus and the communion, when we say, holy, 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 blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We say that, and we're going to say it again. So, this is really cool. This is like a side note. Liturgy 101. They are welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, and they're saying this. And when we say it during the Eucharistic prayer, we are welcoming Jesus to come to us in his body and blood. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool. So when we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, when we're making the sign of the cross, which some of us do, it's not mandatory, but you can if you want to, that's like saying, yes, this is super important. Make it happen. Yes, I want this. So that's why we're making the sign of the cross right there. So be on the lookout for that today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the people wanted to have a warrior king to kick the Romans out, to set up the way things used to be with good old King David. Yay, the kingdom is restored. Mm-hmm. But they were looking with their little human eyeballs and not God's eyes. God had a different plan, a bigger plan, and a better plan. And that plan is the rescue plan of Jesus Christ to save us from our sin and to overcome death. Amen. Restore all of creation, including you and me, to God. That was the game plan. That was his number one objective for being born, and he was going to do it. That's why he came. So we see the crowd, the cheering crowd, waving palm branches in the sky in their hand, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Everybody's cheering, everybody's happy, and then it's like whiplash. The next second, they're saying, "Crucify, crucify. We don't like him, we don't want him, kick him out of here, let him die. We hate his guts." That's what happens. This is a busy week coming up, not just for me, but for all of you, because it's Holy Week. And you might say, "Okay, well, you're going to do all the work. I just show up." No, you have a very important job. Your job this week is to walk with Christ. He did all of this for you and for me. All of this he did for you and for me. And he understands the suffering that we go through because he went through it. He experiences the pain and the suffering and the weight of the entire world's sin on him this week. So our job this Holy Week, whether it be your first Holy Week or your 100th Holy Week, is to walk alongside Jesus. Now, God is the creator of everything, right? God is the one that created the earth and rotate on its axis and to go around the sun, right? But does God rotate on an axis and go around the sun? No. He is not with time. He is removed from time. So we get this kind of brain thing going on that we can't understand, but it is possible for us to kind of use our imagination and be with Christ, and to cheer him on this week. We can walk alongside him and offer him our comfort. We can walk alongside and let him know that we love him, and we're thankful that he's doing this for us. We are so in love with him, and we can hold his hand and just be there with him. We do not deserve for him to do any of what he's going to do for us, but he does it. We are invited to walk with Christ this week, to be one of his close disciples. And it says that we should fix our eyes on him while we're doing this. Prioritize time by making time for prayer or reading scripture or painting or listening to music or making music or going for a walk or whatever it is that you do, that you spend time with him this week. Perhaps you're like the woman that has the expensive perfume that gives it to Jesus out of love to anoint him because you love him so much. You go above and beyond because you love him. Perhaps you're Veronica that wipes his face as he's walking through the crowd. Or Simon that helps to carry his cross. Maybe you're a woman at the cross, or John, who is also at the cross, just being there with him. Then there's Joseph of Arimathea, who used his money to give Jesus his own new tomb to put his body in, and also was in a place of honor and power that he could actually go see Pilate and ask for the body. You know, there's many people around us that are suffering and in pain. They need us just to listen to them, just to be there with them. Maybe offer a trip to the grocery store or throw in a load of laundry or take the trash cans out. You see, you don't have to go very far to see people in need. And in Matthew 25, it says, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me." So getting people a glass of water is like giving Jesus a glass of water. Or perhaps you're going through suffering yourself, whatever that is. Well, we know that Christ understands suffering. From the second that he was born in Bethlehem in a cold stable, he understood what it's like to be us. And so he gets us. The Lord wants us to draw closer to him and to cling to him. And he clings to us even more than what we cling to him. And he will teach us how to be in suffering with him. See, Jesus Christ is not only familiar with our suffering, but he went through all of this for you and for me. And it really happened. It's not make-believe. It's not a story that has been passed down through generations, like my great-great-great-great-grandfather that stole a watermelon in Texas and got scared and ended up in Oklahoma. That's a family story. But this is not. This is a real thing that you can prove. And it comes with faith. This is real. Jesus Christ suffered and died for you. You know, just think about all the logistics that had to happen for this moment to happen. Thousands of years led up to this. Down to the littlest detail, down to like Joseph of Arimathea being able to ask for the body so he's not just rotting on the cross or having birds peck his body away. He is actually dead and in Joseph's tomb. The littlest details take. Only God could do that. So why does God to go to all this work, thousands of years, to make this rescue plan work? God, the creator of the universe, who understands all the black holes and galaxies, down to the littlest like amoebas and microbiology stuff, that God knows you by name. And every hair that you have on your head, or lack of hair, or the percent that's turning gray. He knows all of that, and he cares about you so much. That is why he came and did this, because he loves you. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have done it just for you, because he loves you so much. So when Jesus Christ is being whipped, when Jesus Christ is carrying the cross, when Jesus Christ is being nailed to the cross, when he's dying and taking his last breath, he's doing it for you and for me because he loves us so much. So be with him this week. Just hang out. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.